عن سبيل الله إن الذين يضلون عن سبيل الله لهم عذاب شديد بما نسوا يوم الحساب صدق الله العظيم. Yesterday we had been discussing the incident of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali and Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali, that they were on the two opposite ends of a very, very major difference of opinion in the Indian political situation of that time, and a very, very major difference of opinion which unfortunately people lower down couldn't understand the limits and what extremes they went to. But the point of the discussion was that despite there being sometimes such major serious difference of views between some personalities, but the cleanliness of the heart, regardless of the fact that there is this major difference of view and it has led to such major issues in between the followers of these personalities, which was not their responsibility because they didn't even have control of these masses that were down. But the difficulty that we seem to have to try to reconcile this, that how can it be possible there's a major, very, very serious difference of view and yet the hearts can be clean. So that comes down again to what the issue is, that we judge things, judge people based on our own condition. Al-mar'u yaqisu ala nafsihi. Person draws deduction of things, of people, based on what his own condition is. So if my own condition is that if I can't keep my heart clean, when I have a difference of view with somebody, some little small probably issue with someone, so I think everybody else is like that. And everybody else will have that kind of heart as well. Whereas we already discussed from the lives of the Sahaba-e-Kiram that how far from reality this particular notion is, and the lives of the Sahaba testimony that despite, let alone just difference of view, things that even led to war still kept the hearts clean. So in this particular instant, this is the same lesson to draw out of this. It is in the peak of this very severe difference of opinion that one of these incidents happened, that Khadim made that statement of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali and he expelled him from the Khanqah. The statement was made against Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah Ali, he expelled him from the Khanqah. You out. And this person had to go all the way to Deoband, get the forgiveness of Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah Ali, and that too went back and forth, without back. On one occasion, Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah Ali, now this is still at the time when this differences are on the peak and the issues on the ground are still at their peak as well. And all these major issues are carrying on. Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah Ali came to Thanabon to come and visit Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. So when he came by some train which landed, which reached quite late. So when he came to the Khanqah, it was well after the time that the rule of the Khanqah is at a certain time, the door of the Khanqah will be closed, the gate of the Khanqah will be closed. So there used to be a big board, clear sign there, that after this time, it will not be opened till the morning. And there was a lot of discipline, a lot of system that was there in the Khanqah in Thanabon of the Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. And everything used to happen like that clockwork, and everything used to happen by that system. But Madni Rahmatullah Ali is this giant of a personality of his time. And he came at that time, now if it was 10 o'clock at night, that this door, gate will be closed. He reached there at about 11 o'clock maybe, 12 o'clock, whatever time he reached. So he knew the usul as well. He knew this is the system here, this is the rule. So he didn't knock on any door either. That this is the rule, so I should respect it. I know beforehand that this is the system here, this is the rule. So I should not now try to make some loophole for myself and do my own thing. I must respect the system and the rule. Now he didn't make any exception for himself that I am so and so and I am somebody, so therefore I should now be given some kind of special treatment, I should be given some kind of recognition. This was the kamal of these personalities, that the despite the height that they reached, they regarded themselves as nobody and nothing. That who am I, that I should be given some kind of exclusive treatment, some kind of special treatment. He didn't need that, he didn't ask for it. He had his bedding with him. He unfolded his bedding outside the gate and lay down to sleep. So he was lying down there. At night, around tahajjud time, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi came out of his house now to come towards the masjid. And at that time, Hazrat Madni rahmatullah alayhi is busy wrapping up his bedding as well. He woke up for tahajjud also. So Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi in the darkness now, can just a little bit of light, he's seeing somebody is here, somebody is, who is this at this time of the night? They ask, who is this? So Hazrat Madni rahmatullah alayhi replies, Hussein Ahmad. Said, you here at this time outside? So in a kind of light-hearted way, in a jovial manner almost, he says to him, well, your usul doesn't allow any faqir to come in after time. So Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi said that you are not bound by this rule. He then took him along, and the person who was in charge of the khanqa, he got to him and he said to him that, look, this person is excluded from all these rules. He comes any time of the day or night, he is to be welcomed in and made comfortable. Now again, not to forget that this is at a time when both these personalities have a very serious difference of view regarding this, what is the right position in terms of this issue that was taking place at that time. And that issue is not like something happened some years back. It is current. It is right now happening. And in that period of time now, this incident is taking place. That now Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi takes him to the person who was in the supervisor of the khanqa, and he says, this man is excluded from all these rules. You ensure that he comes any time of the day or night, he is to be welcomed in. Any case, then they come to the masjid. When it's time for Fajr, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi instructs Hazrat Madni rahmatullah alayhi that you will lead the salah. Now they were, as the incident we discussed yesterday, that one khadim also had something else in his mind, and how he commented. Hazrat Madni rahmatullah alayhi was aware that people have these kind of sentiments about him, that because he had this view, which coincidentally was the view of the Congress party, which was a lot of Hindus in there, that India should not be subdivided. So many, na'uzubillah, used to make all kinds of, pass all kinds of comments and call him a kind of a Hindu sympathizer and all kinds of very, very derogatory kind of comments and remarks. But he used to just ignore everything, not pay attention to any of these things. And his view was based on what he felt was best for the Muslims of India and for the upkeeping of deen and the institutions of deen. In any case, that's a different detail altogether, not necessary for us now. The point is now, in the midst of all this, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi says to him, you're going to lead the Fajr Salah. So he said that perhaps some people may not be happy about performing Salah behind me. Because he knew there are some people who are holding this kind of feelings about him, and they'll feel very uncomfortable that now how are we performing Salah behind this person. He said, perhaps some people may not be happy about performing Salah behind me. So Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi replies that there are many other masajid close by, and the time of Salah is still not, some are even later. Anybody is not happy here, they can go elsewhere. They have other options. But you will lead the Salah. So any case, he leads the Salah. After the Salah, etc., they were seated together for a while. Then the Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali asked somebody to go and bring one turban and come. He wanted to present one turban as a gift. So the turban was made out of very fine fabric, which was at that time manufactured by the English, by the British. They were in India already now. And Hazrat Mahdi Rahmatullah Ali, in his opposition to the British, because they were out there to destroy Islam, he had taken a stance that he will never ever use anything manufactured by the British, and to keep this alive in the Muslims, this is what he used to tell others to do as well, so that they recognize this, what is this going on here, and what are these people up to, that they have come here not for any other purpose, but to destroy Islam and the Muslims. So to keep that, that they don't become comfortable with the ways of the English and the British, this is what he adopted for himself. So he used to wear what used to be manufactured at that time, the very coarse cloth, khaddar is to be called. Only used to wear that. Madin Rahmatullah Ali, this was his principle. It was not a fatwa that it is impermissible to use anything else. But this was something he adopted as a strategy to keep this fervor alive against the British who are out here to destroy Islam. So any case, somebody, whoever was asked to bring this, they brought it and came. So as soon as it arrived, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali saw the expression on the face of Hazrat Mahdi Rahmatullah Ali. And he was well aware of his usul as well. He said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I forgot. Now these are termed as adversaries by the rest of the public and people who are on opposite ends of this very major issue. And now he's taking care. He could have easily said, look, it's not a fatwa issue. There's no masla here that this is haram. So I'm giving it to you as a gift. You should accept the gift. He could have said many other things as well. He said, I'm sorry, I forgot. He asked the person, take this back and bring a turban of that fabric. Then that was brought. When that was brought, with his hands, he tied the turban around Hazrat Madni's head. And he said, my ustad, who was the ustad of both of them, Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Ali, I regard you as the deputy of my ustad, Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah Ali. And the people have just given him this title, Shaykhul Hind. He was Shaykhul Alam. He wasn't just the Shaykh of the subcontinent. He was a personality that actually his benefit has already spread to the world. Now, this was an incident that happened at the peak of this whole issue that was taking place. Now, can this happen? Can this kind of treatment, this kind of conversation, Hazrat Madni coming and casually just laying down outside the door without, because he's come to visit. And he came to visit recognizing the position that who I'm coming to visit. And therefore I have to present myself. And on top of that, not wanting any kind of special treatment here. And then the treatment that Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali gives him. Can all this from both sides ever happen if there was one iota of dirt in the heart? If there was any kind of malice, any kind of ill feeling towards one another, impossible. Some things can be pretended for a while, but not to this extent. This is not something that can come out of pretense, can just come out of just a person now forcing himself to. These are all spontaneous things that were happening out of sincere muhabbat for each other. Now that is the aspect that we can't seem to figure out in our minds and hearts, that how can this be possible, that there can be such sharp difference of views or even a dispute of some sort and the heart can stay clean. But these incidents are the testimony that those who have purified their hearts, where it can happen and who can make it happen, those who have made tazkiyah. They have annihilated the nafs. They have annihilated the nafs. That is the first thing that is done in this line of suluk and tasawuf. When a person has genuinely presented himself for that islah, so the mashayikh would first thing annihilate the nafs. Hazrat Khaja Aziz al Hasan Madzub rahmatullah alayh, whose name we've heard many times, he was a very highly placed official in the British government. At that time, for an Indian to be placed at that position was a very big thing. Like in our understanding now, he was like on the position of a premier of a province or something of that nature basically. On a very high position. And now a person of that authority, he is now flying high in terms of dunya and gets things done at the click of his fingers and people running at his beck and call and all this kind of thing. And he came now, Allah Ta'ala put it in his heart and mind, the consciousness came, I need to correct myself, I need to get close to Allah Ta'ala. And he came to Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi for his islah. He was a natural poet, so he came for the first time, he presented his purpose for coming in one little small chitti piece of paper, and he did it in one little couplet. As mentioned now, he was a natural poet. So he now presented this in one little couplet. Nahi koi aur gharz main aapke dar par main laya hu mita dijiye main mitne hi ko aaya hu. Something of this nature was the wording, that no other purpose had brought me to your door. I've come to be annihilated, annihilate me, I've come to be annihilated. That was the opening request and the purpose of having come in what he presented. I have come now, we're talking about somebody who's just an ordinary person in society. He comes and says, please, I've come to annihilate myself. Very well, understood. But now a person who is now high and mighty, so to say, who is on this pedestal of authority, and in that kind of society, coming from that background, a very modern, secular background. And now for him to have come and he understood of his purpose. And subhanallah, he understood the crux of Islam before he even started. He understood what this is requiring. Yes, he came to get it done now. And how much he got it done to, these things have been mentioned on many occasions. But subhanallah, merely talking about these people's incidents brings such inspiration in the heart, such noor in the heart. So the incident now, again, where he came from, which background. Imagine a mayor from somewhere goes into somebody's khanka for his islah. We're not talking about the mayor now, we're talking about the premier of the province. And then now he comes there to humble himself. And he's ready, he says, please, I've come to annihilate myself. So now, as mentioned, he was just a natural poet, anything and everything. And then he's coming from a background where he did all the speaking, others did the listening, he was giving the instructions, others spoke when he asked them to speak. Now he's coming to a place where, now you keep quiet and listen. But now things don't happen overnight. Old habits, they take time to now break off. So he would often speak out of turn, meaning now something he will just express some, what came to his mind about it. Somebody asked something, he had some thought on the matter, he gave the answer before that. So when this happened a couple of times, Hazrat told him, look, here you speak when you are told to speak. Or when you want to speak, you will first ask permission to speak. And he's come for his islah. And in those days, this islah happened in a very vigorous manner. So he accepted it, yes, my mistake. He accepted the mistake, acknowledged it, realized it. But again, force of habit. Again, it came out one, two times. Again, he was cautioned that, look, you were told you don't talk out of turn. Now, we can just picture the scene. Now, when he's being told this, he's sitting in a gathering. It's now like the principal of the school came and all his students are around too. And now the principal is being reprimanded. He is like on that level, the premier of the province now. And he's been told in the midst of a gathering, look, you were told previously already. And he's accepting it, he's acknowledging it. Yes, my mistake again. And then it happened again. You see, old habits don't die off just so easily. That's why, look, you are trying, but it's not working out yet. So now what you do is, you make this little board, khamosh, silence, and you hang it around your neck. So this will be hanging there, it will keep you forever alert. But I'm not supposed to talk, I'm supposed to keep quiet. Now how a little child is sometimes made to do that, nowadays they will call that child abuse. Nowadays if you have put that around one child's neck and say, oh, keep quiet or something, then there will be probably some immediate inquiry. There might be some little disciplinary hearing. This was child abuse. So now he was told to do this. Now he got this thing hanging around his neck, on his chest. Khamosh. And now he's sitting there. And on top of that he says, that he used to sit with his shawl, his scarf in his around him, and one corner of it in his hand. Every now and again he's stuffing it in his mouth to prevent something just coming out again. Because then too it was coming out. But now he went through all this, annihilated himself. He didn't come from a Darul Uloom as a student to come and make his Islah. He wasn't from a background of deen that he came. He came from a secular background. He came from a very modern lifestyle. But he came and annihilated himself. He learned the knowledge that needed to be acquired also. And he learned the ruh and the spirit of that knowledge. Because one is the knowledge, and the other is the ruh and the essence of it. That knowledge which brings that khashiyat and that connection with Allah Ta'ala. All this after annihilating himself, that time came when after Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi passed away, people such as Mufti Muhammad Shafi sahab rahmatullah alayhi, the grand Mufti of Pakistan in his time, and many others of his caliber, they turned to Hazrat Khaja sahab rahmatullah alayhi and made him their sheikh. They were giants of knowledge, and you're talking about personality who was termed as the grand Mufti of Pakistan. And here is a person that came from a secular background. But what caliber he reached and how he progressed, this is the person to turn to for Islam now. After having been in the company of the Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, they chose him. But where it came from? It came from that annihilation. Now those who annihilate themselves in that manner, then they can keep their hearts clean. This is where this point started off from, that for us it's hard to fathom, how can this be? How do you keep your heart clean in this kind of situation? But those who have made that Islah and Tazkiyah of the heart, have annihilated that nafs. Mita dijiye, mita dijiye, main mitne hi ko aaya ho. I've come for only one purpose. I've come to annihilate myself. And they accepted that annihilation. And in that time, as mentioned, this used to go through, people used to be put through the paces. One person who was a Nawab, his Nawab were like mini kings. They ruled over vast territory or whatever was the system of that time. And they would collect all the taxes of that place. They were like mini kings. So one such person came to become Bay'at. So he came to become Bay'at to the Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi. He came in his style. Came with his khadim, with a big tray of mitai. Now after he becomes Bay'at, now he'll celebrate his coming Bay'at, and now everybody will be given this mitai. So Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi sized this whole thing up. So at that time he was traveling, he was at somebody base station somewhere, and that's where this person came. So he now treated him according to his position now. Anzilun nasa manazilahum. He told him, but now just, we will do that bay'at later. Inshallah, sit down. And then the khadim, he said, look, how long this person is going to be standing around? Tell him, leave it here and you can let him carry on. We'll do the bay'at later. So in any case, he had the khadim dismissed and sent away. So after the khadim went away, then Hazrat said, look, I need to go to another place. We'll do the bay'at there. And he woke up and started moving. Now this person has to join now. But he has to join now, but the khadim is gone. And now this mitai, who's going to carry it? So nobody else is going to do anything without instruction here. If not, somebody else will suddenly start deciding to become the very great hero here, that he'll decide to carry it. Everybody knew that when there is some system happening here. So now this person had to carry that mitai himself in a big tray, put it on his head and walk, because he can't manage it any other way. And so deliberately started going through the bazaar. And now many people are aware, Nawab Sahib, mashallah, he's walking around with his whole tray on his head. And that man, Hazrat, came to that one place, then after having whatever was supposed to be done there, he said, no, there's something else somewhere else. We'll do the bay'at there. In that manner, made him walk 3-4 places, and finally then made the bay'at. This person himself used to say, that just in that my Islah got made. I got sorted out before even the bay'at. So now they understood that they had come for a purpose, they had come to annihilate themselves, they accepted that annihilation. He didn't decide, well now what's this now? On the one he meant, send the khadim away, now he's making me walk around him. I'll go somewhere else, do something else. No, they knew where they're going. They knew what they went for. They knew what was the objective and purpose. For that they accepted the annihilation. Allah Ta'ala took them ahead. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.